Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. I need to say right off the bat, we're having a storm of some great magnitude here, and we might be knocked off of the internet for a moment or two. And if that happens, the network and I have worked out a sort of like protocol that I will hang up and they will start trying to call me and reconnect. In the interim, they may go to music, but whatever happens, we're going to try and get through the hour, interruptions or no interruptions. So with that, let me get started. As I just said, welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. And we're continuing our foray into this notion of social justice. But it also goes back to last month when we spent a whole month talking about the purpose of public education, public schools, and we're now segueing into the social justice as a new kind of purpose that the schools will take on, and whether or not the schools can, should, how, and why of such a transition. And I had talked last week and part of the week before about, when we make this transition to social justice, and from the previous shows, I have been raising the question in terms of, we're, quote, in this 21st century, and there's a lot out there about the 21st century school, the 21st century education, 21st century curriculum and pedagogy, and they don't talk about it, but politics, and everything is geared to, we're in a new century here, and this century is going to be dynamic, it's going to be XYZ, and are we ready for it? And what changes do we have to make to be relevant in the 21st century? And that's the question I want you to keep in mind when we talk almost all the time. What are schools relevant now? Well, the people who are waging war on us said, no, and we haven't been forever, and that we really need to get our crap together as we're into this 21st century, this digital world, and the politics of it, and the economy, global economy, and competition, and on and on and on. And so I had raised the question of basically, what do we have to do? And I say we, the public education community, the ed community, what do we have to do to survive the war? And by surviving, I guess, to become, quote, relevant, competitive, to the point where we regain our position of being indispensable. I don't hope I'm not rambling, but that's where we come to. We come down to this question of, and we talked previously about the community school movement and whether or not having our schools become community schools, whole districts becoming community schools, whole states becoming community schools. Will that help us in surviving? I think in a way it has a really good chance, because as a community school, and especially if that school really gets engaged with the community, then you will have community folks, parents, relatives of students, neighbors, friends, and et cetera, who would be hopefully more inclined to become activists and protecting our schools, our neighborhood schools, our community schools. And hence, it may be a political ploy, but it's something that, if it were to happen, I think it would have a big impact. Why would it have a big impact? The community schools, think about this. When we talked earlier in this, a few months ago, about John F. Kennedy and then Lyndon Baines Johnson and their interest in the war on poverty, and then how that war on poverty, the schools became a very prominent site for waging the war on poverty. So during that particular time, the schools got money, the feds got more involved, of course, so you may have lost something there, but the schools got money from the feds. They were able to do things that they weren't able to do before, and this notion of equity, not equality, but equity, pops up. And the school became really a weapon to fight poverty. They recognize the importance of the school as a place from which a potentially effective counter war against poverty could be waged and contribute to a win. Okay, that was community schools. Now we have social justice movement. Like the community school movement, we have this thing called social justice movement. And as I explained last week, two words here, social and justice. You can have justice, then you can talk about criminal justice, juvenile justice, economic justice, gender justice, racial justice. But when you put an adjective in front of it, you begin to delineate a specific area of injustice, really, that needs to change. But when you use the word social justice, that's an all that can be and most often is used as an umbrella adjective to refer to one or more of the various other areas of justice. This can be very, very, very confusing, people. If you go and look up social justice on Google, or if you're old school, go to encyclopedia, probably won't be encyclopedia, but go to any of these reference sources, and if you really get into it, and particularly like a Google search, and they take you through the history of this term social justice and what have going all the way back to Plato and Aristotle and that's Western philosophy, which is what we engage in. We don't do Asian, we don't do African philosophy, but you go back to these guys and you come all the way up through the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, and you see this word justice and social justice being used. What I am trying to get over is that Social justice is an abstract concept. You can't put your hands on it because it's abstract, not concrete. It means one thing to one person and something different to 100 other people. It can mean something different one period of time versus another period of time. It can mean something here in the United States that it doesn't mean in France. But we use it all the time, at least lately. We use it all the time. Fight for social justice. This is for social justice. And we assume that the person that we are talking to or the person that we're writing something, that they're going to have the same idea or definition in mind when they hear us or read us when we talk about social justice. That's dangerous because social justice to one person may mean perpetuating the status quo of injustice, whereas social justice to another person may mean fighting to change the current situation because it's unjust to bring about justice. This is a double-edged sword, and on and on and on. In the broad sense, we talk about racial justice as a concept under the social justice umbrella. I think when we use racial justice, most people, and maybe I just went out on a limb here in terms of most people will think about the injustice, the inequality, any injustice in our judicial system, in our legislative system, in our state, federal, local governments, the inequities in wealth, the where you live may expose you to, okay, they just told me that I was knocked off of the airwaves. I don't know when I was knocked off, and I was, this is disturbing. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is get us on the same page when we talk about social justice. It's a abstract concept. It has many different meanings, and it can apply to all kinds of situations and what have you. And I'm now beginning to get messages saying that people can't hear me. Now some saying that I'm back. So this is going to be an interesting day. Okay. When we talk about, I'm going to just go to education, what we're most interested in. And here's a sort of like generic definition. When we talk about social justice, meaning contributing to social change and public policies that will increase equality and equity, either along gender, racial, economic lines, and will end discrimination of various kinds, reduce the stark income inequalities that characterize the country and most of the world, so that in this context, social justice is almost like an action word, a verb, that social justice is a movement to bring about social change. And I think that's the word that you should underline, social change, and that social justice, as it's used, I'm going to say most commonly, deals with social change. Something is not right. Something is wrong. And whatever that something is should be changed to making the situation right, making it good. And by being social, we're talking about something that affects a large number of people, maybe both on the individual level, but also on the collective level. So that's what social justice, in a very generic way, sort of means today, and how it's used in the United States. And then we, if you take that definition and you move to education and social justice, the word education coming first, what that does is tell you we're talking about education as a social institution. And then when we say and social justice, all kinds of different meanings can come about. But if you use the word social change, or the concept of social change, as your anchor point, we're basically talking about education and or school and some notion of social change. In the broader sense of the word here, we're talking about, and I raised the question last week and I'll raise it again this week, in terms of the school system, the school as a social institution. Can it be, or should it ever be, an agent of social change? You as a teacher, as a parent, do you ever think about the school, your neighborhood school, community school, what have you, as an agent that can be an agent for the status quo, keeping all of the inequities that exist, both in the school and outside of the school, or the schools can be a center or a place where it helps promote social change. When I say social change, I'm saying, quote, social change perceived as something positive, from bad to good, from evil to good, the moral use of that word. And then I asked the question last week, and I'm asking it again this week, what role, if any, should or can teachers and schools play in bringing about social change via social justice framework? How can you? What can you do? Or should you? Has this become a moral question for each individual teacher, or is this something that me as a classroom teacher can go into my classroom and say, I am going to become, quote, a social justice teacher, and I am going to teach / train my students to have a social justice frame of mind, and I'll explain that in a minute. Or am I going to do what many people have said back in the beginning of 2000, when No Child Left Behind came about and Race to the Top, that I just want to go into my room, close the door, and do my thing without having to deal with Common Core, standardized testing, VAM, value-added method measures. I want it to be like it was before all of this took place. And I also said that the school the curriculum, pedagogy, all political. That we teach to an ideology. Currently, that ideology is one of perpetuating or maintaining and perpetuating inequality, inequity across a broad spectrum, social, economic, political, judicial, you name it. The extraction of wealth by a very small number of people at a rate that's unheard of, unseen previously. That's what the current curriculum is aimed at, is us teaching to the status quo. Political, as I mentioned previously. So, what happens when you as a teacher, or as a faculty, if you could vote on it, or your principal allows you to decide what you can do or want to do, and he or she backs you, what do you want to do? Do you want to get off into this social justice movement in the public schools or in the school system, period? Can you? And the question of why you do and why you don't want to? These are the kinds of issues that I think we have to have a discussion about individually, collectively, as to what role, if any, we want to engage in the social justice. And let me add something else, too. As a teacher, if your school is that school, and I'll just say call it a community school, if that school that is into social justice, and even though you don't call it that, the social justice movement, but you're engaging the students, and I'm getting just a little ahead of myself, and I'll catch up with myself in a moment here. Of if your school is a community school and that it's involved with the community and the conditions, the inequitable conditions within the neighborhood, and you are in your school, you consider yourself part of a community, and the community is part of you, and hence you want to get involved. We're talking about social justice can be something that's inside the classroom, the culture of the individual school, and it can go outside of both the classroom and the school and into the community. Let me just say it. Working for social justice, you can do it inside and outside of the classroom. You can do it in the classroom by getting your students engaged and getting them basically into the paradigm that we use here on the War Report, becoming aware. I mean, they're already living, most likely, the inequities, but making them become aware on a higher level, a critical level. Make them understand how their daily lives, the ones that they lived, they bring into the school, into the classroom, is being shaped by social forces, the economic, the political, the social, the historical, the religious, all of those social forces that help shape their lives, their experience on a day-to-day basis. They bring all of that into the school. They bring all that into your classroom. They don't leave it at the door. And that experience that they bring in the classroom and certainly, and you know this, impact their learning, their interest in learning, their ability to learn, to concentrate, to focus on learning. And so that you as a teacher, if you are into social justice, you will hopefully be able to have a curriculum and a pedagogy that allows you to deal with the social justice issues outside of the classroom, outside of the school, as well as in your school. And in your schools, you know what I'm talking about. When schools across the country adopted zero tolerance, no excuses, that was gravely impactful on students. You as a teacher, you became part of that structure implementing zero tolerance. I had mentioned this, a couple of years ago, that teachers really were put in the position of being gatekeepers in the school-to-prison pipeline. You, as teacher, if your principal, your district, is putting pressure on you to get those test scores up, if not, you know the consequences. And so if you then can say, or your administration can say, well, if you push Joe and Joseph out of your classroom into special ed, or if you're charter school, you push them out of the school, period, you or she won't bring our scores down. That's a social justice issue if there ever was one. Or Common Core. We all, when I say we again, the ed community, including some of the parents, we look at the Common Core and we say, this is bullshit. We attack it on the fact that working teachers, experienced teachers, seem to have nothing to do with its development. And we got people who know jack about education, grade level instruction appropriateness, telling us this is what we should do, this is how we should do it, and us being forced to do it, that's a social justice issue, if ever it was one. And you can, you know the range of issues that can be under this umbrella of social justice and education or educational justice. And you know many teachers, of course, especially in the beginning, onslaught went along with it. Unions went along with it. There was no pushback. And as I mentioned last week, some individual teachers started to say, I can't administer this test to a kindergartner or first grader. Or how about that situation? I think it was Florida. A kid was in the hospital and was dying, and they insisted, they being in school, insisted that he take a standardized test. Most ridiculous thing ever, almost. Or other examples. That's a social justice issue. If you don't say anything, if you don't do anything, that's taken as being condoning, taken as maybe supporting it, and as a result, You, I'm going to say you, the individual, you, the collective you, are helping maintain and perpetuate the inequities, the inequality in your class, in your school, in your district, in the country, and you're not being a social justice activist that we talked about last week. You're not being a education advocate for what's right for your students. You're missing opportunities. So the question again comes up, what role, if any, should you as a teacher play in this scenario? Should you? Is it part of your job? Were you, and as I mentioned last week, you weren't trained, of course, to be a social justice teacher in a social justice classroom, social justice school, in a social justice district, just the opposite. So, if you weren't trained, you're not encouraged, in fact, you're discouraged, what do you do? It becomes a moral issue, of course, but what do you do? Do you say that as a teacher, I should not, cannot play a role in educating my students in a social justice, from a social justice framework? Can I help prepare my students, like I wasn't prepared, to become social justice advocates, activists? I got my role. When I was preparing for this, even last week, I kept remembering the situation that I experienced years, a couple decades ago. I mentioned that I was teaching, I'm a sociologist, social psychologist, and I was asked to go into another department at the university, the criminal justice department, that was in total chaos. I described it previously. It was a time when the Justice Department had tens and tens of millions of dollars that they were giving out to colleges and universities to encourage them to set up a criminal justice study department program. Schools were, as usual, lapping up the money as fast as they possibly could, setting up program departments and all. And in the one where I was, the department was set up not by educators, but by ex-law enforcement, and they created like an island onto themselves on campus. They hated everyone on campus, teachers, administrators, and they tried to indoctrinate their student in a bunker mentality. It's us versus them. You come into the department, we'll take care of you, you'll get the grades, you'll get access to L.A., Los Angeles Police Department, Sheriff's Department, FBI, because we've got people who were FBI, L.A. PD, Sheriff's Department, and on and on and on. And when I came in, oh, and by the way, they hated sociology department. We were a bunch of communists, socialists, what have you. And so I came in, needless to say, I was not welcome. I was asked to come in by the president of the school to help bring some type of academic credibility to the department, where there was none. And the answer that I'm trying to get to is I was had a small class, all cops who wanted to get a college degree so that they could move up in the ranks, get higher pay, and on. And we're sitting in a circle, and we were talking, and one cop says, what was the exact words? I ain't no fucking social worker. They were talking about community policing, bringing in community policing, and trying to develop relationship with the community or improve relationship. And the consensus of the group was, yeah, we ain't no fucking social workers. We're going to do what we've been doing, because if you don't, then they being the people out there, are not going to respect us. Basically, they're not going to fear us. And I was like a piranha in that group. They didn't like me. I didn't like them either. And before the semester, quarter session was over, basically told me, we don't need a gun. With a pen, we can send you to the gas chamber. Basically, you either give us our program or we can do away with you. Now, what this example is meant to say was that if you want to do, if you get into social justice, you're going to have people that are opposed to social justice. People, other teachers, admins, district people. It's a hard decision depending on where you are. But now let me go to social justice, and you're going to teach social justice. You're going to start with your curriculum. You know this. Either you're going to put together your curriculum, or you can go online. There are sites that have social justice curriculum. Some of you may have already done this. And they have courses and teachers who are teaching the social justice movement, develop curriculum for all kinds of classes, and you can get them from preschool almost all the way up to 12th grade, all across the curriculum, and you can seek to see whether or not you can implement a social justice framework in your teaching. And especially if you're in the arts and the social studies, because those areas are not tested. You know this, math, science, English, or language art are the three areas that are tested. So you maybe have some leeway and that you can engage in a social justice activism. You also know pedagogy. The way in which you teach, the methods in which you teach. You can embrace a pedagogical style that embraces social justice. I want to say best way is a critical pedagogy, a critical curriculum. And I mentioned last week, we talked about project-based learning or problem-based learning. This approach, this curriculum and the pedagogy is tailor-made for a social justice style orientation to teaching. Particularly the project-based learning, because I'm assuming you already know what project-based learning is. It's the new kid on the block. Everyone is raving about it, and that it's active learning, and it's hands-on. It's relevant, if you structure it right, it's relevant to the student's lived experience out of school, and it should be research-based. Kids learn how to do research and take on a problem and come to gather data on it, analyze data, come to some type of solution and or some type of action, social action, aimed at solving a problem or, quote, social change. The internet is full of curriculum ideas, lesson plans, and pedagogy if you want to get into it that way. Out of school, outside of school, if you want to get into this, again, I'm speaking to you as a teacher, what you can do to get into the social justice and education, or education and social justice movement, and keep in mind the broader question. If you do this, you, the individual, and we do it collectively, can this help save public education, especially public education for the common good? Or the other end of this is you've set up a social justice school classroom. Said activity will be viewed as a threat. But we're talking about social change here, as a threat to the status quo, as a threat to the historical ideology that is in play, justifying the way things are and the way things should be. And I'll give you a prime example of what I'm trying to say here. In Chicago, 2001, a group of students went on a strike for 19 days. They were striking because they were promised a new neighborhood school, and that promise being reneged on. They won. The district, Rahm Emanuel and company, said they would put up a new school. The city did, and this campus held four small schools. One of the four schools was a social justice school, 2005, which means it's been in operation now 12 years. It, many argue, became the model for a social justice school, social justice curriculum, pedagogy, and working towards all of the areas of change, social change that people want. Well, very recently, the school, and again, Chicago, let me stop for a moment. Chicago, mayoral control, you know, Rahm Emanuel controls the school district, just like de Blasio controlled the school district in New York City and wherever else. In Ohio, there were cities where the mayor controlled the school system. No. So, without any notice or discussion, and I think this just happened this fall, the principal who embrace the social justice title of the school was let go. This is a public school now, not a charter school. Let go. AP courses, gone. Some of them, gone. Teachers, gone. Reassigned. And on and on and on. The community, realizing that their social justice school is under attack because it poses a threat to the social structure there in Chicago and nationally. This school, again, was a national model for social justice, one of the first ones, 16, 17 years ago. And it's a threat because they are trying to do things to bring about change in the city, change in the community, things that other schools can get on board with, spreading the social justice model to other schools in Chicago, threatening the power to be the mayor and his handpicked school board. So, yes, there is now pushback on the social justice model. So, the question of can, I won't say converting, but basically transitioning to a social justice model, your school district, can it help save public education in your city, your district? It's a double-edged sword. In my view, yes. But I'm also very much aware of the Chicago pushback as being something that school districts, state boards of education would rise up and say no to. Because, what did we say earlier? The social justice movement is all about social change. Social change at the school, at the district level, state, national level, and depending upon the ferocity of the people involved, it's a movement that doesn't just limit itself to bringing about changes in the classroom, bringing about changes in the school, but it's bringing about change in a community, a city, a region, a state. It's a challenge to the ideology, the culture, the social structure, the power balance. It's a big deal. And it can be truly a big deal, which brings me to that last thing that I stated in our promotion. Can the social justice model become a modern engine for social justice? Think about this. If every school, public school, because right now you know we still are the majority in terms of schools, was a social justice school that practiced social justice in every classroom, every school, and then after school, out in the neighborhood, weekends, 365, and if every school was dedicated to bringing about positive social change. Every school, as Dewey talked about, and when we talked about the purpose of education, when he was saying that the school to become basically the center or the hub of what I call the anchor institution for every community. And that there is a relationship between the school and the community to the school. I dub a school in the community and a community in the school relationship, a symbiotic relationship, where, for example, the school, the culture of the school, is getting the kids prepared to become active participants in the civic life of their community, their city, their state, getting them prepared to become participating democratic city with citizens in a multicultural society. And what you've heard me talk about from day one here, whereby the school, the teachers, the community becomes the engines that drives the growth and development of 1 million, 10 million, 50 million activist citizens going to the polls and electing individuals who are, quote, progressive in the old sense of the word, and the power that such an institution could have in bringing about social change. Is it possible? My question was, should or could, can the school become the modern engine for social justice / social change? I think so. I'm sure you already knew that. Last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I think it's absolutely possible. Will it happen? No, but it's possible. Will schools, more schools, adopt a social justice framework, curriculum, pedagogy? And will they develop, say, curriculum, the courses that would best promulgate the social justice movement? Possible. Will they pedagogy? It's possible. Will that help bridge the gap between teacher and parents, teachers and communities? It could. Will it happen? Kind of doubt it. This is that time when I really wish we were face to face and I could see expressions and also have that conversation. We can't do that, when we can do it, but we've not been able to do it. So that I'm just so curious as well about us not having done this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, so that I truly believe we would not be on the brink of extinction that we are today had we embraced in a social justice, education and social justice movement, both in the classroom, in the school, and outside of the school. I just can't help from wondering what type of world we would be in if we had embraced the social justice movement. And I know right now most people don't know what I'm talking about. You know what it means, social justice, what it means to you and what have you. But the school becoming the modern engine for a social justice movement. The school. My time is almost up. I'm going to next week go into what is called restorative justice. It is something that is making its way into schools across the country. It is something that, when implemented and implemented religiously, can have an impact on the school becoming or continuing to be a gatekeeper and pushing kids out of school and into the school to prison pipeline. It's potentially huge, and it fits right in with what we've been talking about all month, and so we've been leading up to this topic today, what is social justice, education and social justice. Restorative justice is a vehicle that can help a school become a modern engine for the social justice movement. My time is up. I'm sorry about the interruption, and hopefully we won't have that next week, and I'll see you next week. Have a good rest of this Sunday. Take care.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.